In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. My beloved, the gospel that the church has selected for us to be able to read today on the first Sunday of Amshir is from the gospel of St. John, the evangelist, chapter 6. Now, what's interesting for us is that we pick up the story of what is happening today in chapter 6 halfway through the chapter. It's important for us to understand what is happening in the context of this very story before we can even begin to understand what it is that we are reading today. In the beginning of the gospel, in the chapter of St. John the Evangelist in his gospel in chapter 6, what we see is the miracle of the feeding of the multitudes. So we know that the Lord has fed the multitudes prior to this very event. And after he has fed thousands and thousands and thousands of them, we then see later on in that same chapter that the disciples are gathered together in a boat and the Lord comes to them walking on water. And after he comes to them walking on water, he tells them, do not be afraid, and they receive him and they are at peace because they have received the Lord who has walked on water. Why is this so important for us to understand? Because when the evangelist begins speaking to us at this very point in time, he speaks about how it is the people looked for him. How it is the people searched out for him. Now, at first glance, you and I are tempted to believe that this is a wonderful thing. It is beautiful to see that people are running after the Lord. It is a wonderful thing to see that people are flocking towards the feet of Jesus Christ, running after him, trying to find him. And the gospel of today tells us that they did not find him where he was, but they found him where? Across the sea. What does the gospel say? When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Now again, we are tempted to believe that every time somebody tells us that they are looking for the Lord Jesus, or that when we ourselves tell ourselves that we are running after the Lord, we believe that this in and of itself is something that is beautiful. And it is. But the Lord rebukes his children in a very humble and loving way. What does he tell them? He tells them, you came looking for me. Why? Because you ate. Because I fed you. You came looking for me today because of what we did earlier on. Because when the last time you came to me, I offered you something to eat. And now you come to me, not because you recognize who I am, but you come to me because I have met your needs. And those needs that I have met, I want to tell you, they are not the purpose of me coming to you today. Let me ask you, do you believe that the purpose of our faith is for us to be able to run to the Lord and ask him for better jobs? Do you believe that the reason for the incarnation, that the Lord God left his eternal glory and became man and humbled himself eternally, was for you and me to come and ask him for a bigger home, a nicer car, a higher pay salary, a more successful career, success for our children in schools? Do you believe this is the purpose of his coming? Now, let's not misunderstand each other. All of these things are important. All of them are important, and we should ask our Heavenly Father for them. But is that what Christ has become? What is the difference between the Lord Jesus Christ in this story and Santa Claus? Don't we tell our children during Christmas time that we take them to a mall and they sit on a stranger's lap and they ask him for gifts? Is this what the Lord Jesus Christ has become to you and I? Has he become nothing more than Aladdin's lamp that when you rub it, the genie comes out and you get to make wishes? Let me tell you, the Lord that we worship, our Heavenly Father, he will grant you all of those things. You want him to be your genie, he will be your genie. You want him to be your Santa, he will be your Santa. But what he wants to give to you and me is much greater than all of these things. He does not tell the people, how dare you follow me because you look for food, leave and never come back. No, he still greets them. He still takes them, and we know that he continues to feed them. But what does he remind them? Ask for things that are greater. Recognize why it is that I have come. And why did he come? Why did he come? Is it so that he can fill our bellies? Or did he come because he came to offer a very different kind of bread? Not the bread that they ate during that miracle, but a bread that you and I would consider to be the solution to our death. The bread that would be the antidote to the poison that has infected us because of sin. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you." What is this food that will endure for everlasting life? What is this food that will endure for everlasting life? This is a mystery that you and I have to be able to come to terms with. Amr Rafail explains it beautifully, and he gives it in an anecdote that you and I can understand. What does Amr Rafail say? He says, "I want you to imagine that a father came home, and he came home and he had purchased a poison. And the poison that he had purchased it for a specific reason to be able to use for something that he needed to use it for. And when he came home, he told his child, 'Do you see this bottle? This bottle is dangerous. This bottle has something that is bad in it. You cannot touch this bottle. Do not come close to it, because if you come close to this bottle and you drink from its content, you will die. So do not touch what I have brought home with me.'" And he takes the bottle and he puts it on a high shelf to make sure that his child can't take it. But his child doesn't understand. The child doesn't believe his father. The child thinks that my father has come and he has brought with him something that he wants to keep for himself. That this is not poison. This is probably something that he wants to drink on his own, and he does not want to share it with me. So what does the child do? He climbs up into the shelf and he drinks from the poison. And when the father comes back and looks at the child, he tells him, "What have you done? What have you done? Why have you drank from that thing that I told you will kill you?" And here the son begins to realize that the poison has begun working. And he starts to feel inside him something that is happening that begins to kill him very slowly. And he feels like death is starting to proceed. And because of this, the son turns to the father and says, "I am so sorry, Father. I am so sorry that I did not listen to you. I am so sorry that I drank from this thing that you told me not to drink of. I regret my decision." Now let me ask you, if the father at this point tells his son, "It's okay, son, I forgive you," does that solve the problem? Does it solve the problem for the poison that is in the child? Does it cure the child from that poison because the father has said, "It's okay, I forgive you"? Is it because the son apologizes that suddenly death disappears? So let me ask you, when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the garden of good and evil, people ask, "Okay, but why didn't they apologize? If they had apologized, the Lord would have forgiven them. He would have done this and it would have been over." But this is not true. Apologizing is to be able to meet the needs of the pride of the person before us. You think our God is proudful? You think our God is waiting for an apology? You think our God is the kind of God that I have hurt his ego by sinning, so he says, "Anam khasmak mishakalimak tani"? This is not the God that we believe in. Our God sat there and he says, "I have to find a cure for their death." It is not enough for them to simply apologize. Something has to happen. What is the solution to death? Life. Who is life? Not what. Who is life according to our Christian faith? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. So what is the solution now to be able to kill this death that has become a part of his children? They have to take what? They have to take him. He has to enter them and become their cure. He has to enter them and become their antidote, their medicine. So what does the Lord do? He takes on flesh. And when he goes through the process of the incarnation and he becomes man, his body becomes what? Life-giving. Life-giving. Did you hear what the priest says at the end of the liturgy? At the end of the liturgy, the father, the priest, he will stand in front of the altar, and what does he say? Amen, amen, amen. I believe, I believe, I believe that this is what? That this is the life-giving flesh. This is the what? Life-giving flesh. That whoever eats from this will have what? Will have life. And when he eats from this and has life, the death that is inside you and me is cured. My beloved, what the Lord Jesus Christ says today is essential for us to understand. I don't go to him because I want to fill my belly. I don't go to him because he has fed me. I go to him because I recognize that inside me is death and I need his life. So what does he do? He presents to me this life in a way that you and I can accept it. He presents this life in a way that you and I will be able to take it in. Let me give you an example of what I'm trying to say. When we were younger, we were three boys at home. We would never eat our vegetables, ever. We hated vegetables. So what would my mother do? My mother would try to hide the vegetables in the food. So that way we don't realize that it's there, and at the same time, we grow. And as you can see, we grew. So what would she do? She would take something like her spaghetti sauce, and she would take carrots and zucchini and all of these great vegetables, and she would grind them down and she would put it in the sauce, but we don't realize it's there. She has given it to us in a way where we will not reject it. We will take it in gladly. We don't feel that it's there. The Lord knows that we need to be able to partake of Him. He is life. So how does He package this life so that you and I can take it? He gives it to us in the form of bread and wine so that we can accept it. Do we understand how this is the life-giving flesh? Do we understand how the body, how the bread is transformed into His body and how the wine is transformed into His blood? We don't understand it. And that's why we call it a mystery. This is the mystery of mysteries, that this has become His life-giving flesh. But He gives it to us in a form that is mysterious, so that we can still be able to accept it. So my beloved, the message of the gospel today is very clear. It's very clear that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to realize that Him we come to offers us life so that we can live abundantly, so He can cure the sin and the death that is inside us. So remember that today, and remember it every time you approach the altar. That although we come to Him for selfish, temporary, and worldly desires, what He desires to give to you is so much greater. He will meet all of your worldly needs, but what He desires to give you is far greater. What He desires to do is kill that sin, that death that is inside us, in order for us to be able to have life. So as you partake of the Eucharist today, as you approach the altar, and as you open your mouth to receive His life-giving body and His life-giving blood, may we be able to recognize that although we don't understand the mystery, that we believe that what He has done is for our sakes to be able to live eternally with Him. To God be the glory, now and forever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.
Ευπρόσωπη κύριε Σταυσίτη,
Ελληνικό.
mercy. Again, let us ask God, the Pantocrator, the Father of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask and entreat your goodness, O philanthropic one. Remember, O Lord, the peace of your one only holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
Pray for the peace of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Orthodox Church of God.
That which exists from one end of the world to the other, all peoples and all flocks bless. The heavenly peace send down into all our hearts, even the peace of this life graciously grant to us. The Queen, the Prime Minister, the armies, the chiefs, the counselors, the multitudes, the neighbors are coming in and are going out. Adorn them with all peace, O King of Peace. Grant us your peace, for you have given us all things. Acquire us to yourself, O God, our Savior, for we have known none other but you. Your holy name we utter, may our souls live by your Holy Spirit. And let not the death of sin have dominion over us, we your servants. And over all your people.
Lord, have mercy.
Again, let us ask God, the Pantocrator, the Father of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask and entreat your goodness, O lover of mankind. Remember, O Lord, our blessed and honored Father, the Archbishop, our Patriarch of Atavadgos II, and his spiritual brothers, the Patriarch of Antiochia, Natrius Ephraim, and the Patriarch of Eritrea, Abuna Antonios. In keeping, keep them for us many years in peaceful times, fulfilling that holy high priesthood with which you have entrusted him from yourself according to your holy and blessed will, rightly dividing the word of truth, shepherding your people in purity and in righteousness, and all the Orthodox bishops, higumens, priests, deacons, and all the fullness of your one only holy Catholic Apostolic Church, grant them and us peace and safety in every place, their prayers which they offer on our behalf and on behalf of all your people, as well as our prayers on their behalf. Receive them upon your holy rational altar in the heavens as a sweet savor of incense. All their enemies, visible and invisible, trample and humiliate under their feet speedily. As for them, keep them in peace and righteousness in your holy church. Again, let us ask God, the Pantocrator, the Father of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask and entreat your goodness, O lover of mankind. Remember, O Lord, our assemblies, bless them.
Lord, have mercy.
Grant that they may be to us without obstacle or hindrance, according to your holy and blessed will. Houses of prayer, houses of purity, houses of blessing, grant them to us, O Lord, and to all your servants who will come after us forever. Worship of idols utterly uprooted from the world, Satan and all his evil powers, trample and humiliate under our feet speedily. All offenses and their instigators abolish, may all their dissensions of corrupt heresies cease. The enemies of your holy church, O Lord, at all times now also humiliate. Strip their vanity, show them their weakness speedily, bring to naught their envy, their intrigues, their madness, their wickedness, and their slander, which they commit against us, O Lord. Bring them all to no avail. Disperse their counsel, O God, who dispersed the counsel of Ahithophel.
Lord, have mercy.
Arise, O Lord God, and let your enemies be scattered, and let all those who hate your holy name flee from before your face. But as for your people, O Lord, let them be in blessing thousands of thousands, 10,000 times 10,000, doing your will.
We believe in one God, God the Father, the Pantocrator, Creator of heaven and earth, and of all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not created, one essence of the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us man, for our salvation, came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit, and of the Virgin Mary, and became man, and he was crucified for us in the Pontius Pilate, suffered and was buried. Ascended to the heavens, he sits at the right hand of his Father, and he coming again to glory to judge the living and dead, whose kingdom shall be light. Yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, with the Father and the Son, the first to be glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and the one who came after the Messiah,
the Spirit,
and the
Christ,
with his permission of sins.
We look for
اعطيتي اخوتي سامحوني الله اعطيتي ابي شليلي فلوغي سون
ابي ابرسل كيس دو شيجي
يريني فاسي